Hello and good morning. Welcome to our second Sunday of Easter. Today it is the 11th of April. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, again, I welcome you to this morning service, Holy Communion, and I hope you have had a good week and with all the things that are going on. It's good to see that our churches are opening and we have started having our services now in our buildings, and we have a lot to thank God for in taking us through those most difficult times of not being able to worship together. But today also we are meeting with the sad news of the death of His Royal Highness Prince Philip, and as a nation is in grief, we also join everybody who is mourning the loss of Prince Philip. And so let us spend a minute's silence to observe this grief, and then we'll begin our service. God of our lives, we give thanks for the life of Prince Philip, for his love for our country, and for his devotion to duty. We entrust him now to your love and mercy, through our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. But we have the hope of the resurrection, and as we start our service today on this second Sunday of Easter, let us pray. We thank you, God, for coming in the form of Jesus in this broken world, dusty and trouble-ridden, a planet which you lived and worked for 33 years, that we might believe in you and have eternal life. We thank you for communicating your love for us in a way that is very personal, so extravagant, and so gracious. We thank you even for dying and then rising from the dead, so we could have hope. We thank you for proving that you are real, you are powerful, and that only you can give us the power to live our lives well through you becoming human and dying on the cross and rising again. We thank you for washing away our sins by offering yourself as a perfect and blameless sacrifice in our place. We thank you, Jesus, for all you have done for us, and offer our lives as a living sacrifice to you in gratitude of that amazing grace. Almighty Father, thank you for the gift of your forgiveness, for binding up our brokenness, forgiving us for ways of which we have tried and have failed, for saving us and fixing us. Help us to simply receive that grace you have given to us through your cross. Give us also a heart of service to serve the world with your saving grace. And now be with us during this service through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And our first hymn is Come and See, When Jesus Rose Again, the disciples went and saw him. And so today we worship and serve Christ, our risen Saviour. In our hymn books, it is hymn number 109.
Come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless, now he climbs towards the hill. And we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet. And the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. I worship, I worship the Lamb who was slain. Come and mourn for your sin that pierced him there. So much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him. And we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet. And the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship, I worship the Lamb who was slain. Man of heaven, born to earth, to restore. love forgive. I worship, I worship the Lamb who was slain. I worship, I worship the Lamb who was slain.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with sincere and true heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. and the collect for the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, who has given thine only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification, grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve thee in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, beginning with verse 10 to the end, and chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry land. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry land, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry land, with a wall of water on their left and on their right. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. And chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her, with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." This ends our Old Testament reading. Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 till 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. As we prepare for the gospel reading, we are going to sing hymn number 273 from our hymn books, "He is Exalted, the King is Exalted," that following his resurrection, Jesus was exalted to the highest place in heaven, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is exalted.
The King is exalted on high, and I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. Rejoice in your holy name. You are
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 20 and verses 19 to the end. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And for the word of God today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Our theme today is a journey of Christian faith, a journey of Christian faith based on our three readings from the Old Testament, Exodus, the story of the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and the epistle reading, which is the beginning of the church with the early Christians sharing possessions, and also from the gospel reading, Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, that Jesus appeared to his disciples and to others following his resurrection. So within this journey of Christian faith, I'd like to point out that within that there are divine encounters which one experiences. Secondly, there is the ethos of the church, which we see in the book of Acts. So apart from the divine encounters, which we saw in the Old Testament reading from Moses, we see the ethos of the church, which came later, a mixture of unprecedented generosity and divine encounters within the Christian church. And then finally, from the gospel reading, a new horizon of the resurrection life and the need for faith. A new horizon of the resurrection life and the need for faith. So those are the three things we're going to look at as we reflect on this journey of Christian faith. The final verse of John's gospel, which was read in our gospel reading, it tells us that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. So there is a sense of the miraculous and the extraordinary which because of what we read from the accounts of John and other accounts in the Bible, which lead us to believe in God. And that's the purpose and the reason for which they were written. If we look at the Old Testament, we get a background of the Christian faith as taught and as expressed through the church. It shows that through the ages, God has used ordinary people and ordinary things in extraordinary ways to meet us at the points of need and to achieve his purpose. It is in those times that we find ourselves encountered by God and we put our trust in him, and that then we experience the extraordinary. Sometimes God has used things which are weak and broken and imperfect in order to express his power, his wholeness, and his perfection. For example, the account we read from the Old Testament reading, Exodus chapter 14, it is a well-known story of the people of Israel having been released by Pharaoh of Egypt following that Passover plague. One thing which we need to take into account is that the real contest in this story is not between the people of Israel and the people of Egypt. It is rather between God and Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was considered as a god here on earth, the intermediary between the gods and the people. When the Pharaoh came to the throne, he was instantly associated with Horus, the god who had defeated the forces of chaos and restored order. And when the Pharaoh died, he was associated with Osiris. And Osiris was the god of fertility, agriculture, the afterlife, the dead, the resurrection, the life, and vegetation. And so this encounter was between two deities, God, Yahweh, as revealed to the people of Israel, and Pharaoh. On the other hand, Moses was a mere human, weak, vulnerable, and imperfect, but was obedient to God, and was therefore used by God to lead God's people. It is therefore important that in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, which we read, that as the Egyptian army pursued the people of Israel, they were led by Pharaoh himself, who was a deity. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And obviously they went into a state of panic. The rest of the chapter tells of how God saved them, God's mighty works in defeating and providing for the people of Israel in an unprecedented, miraculous series of saving acts, and which has always been held as key to God's identity as the God of Israel by what he did on this occasion. This act has been held as an expression of God being superior with power, even over natural forces, and is also the provider of all human need. So God has used the churches in response to those human needs, as we see in our epistle reading, Acts chapter 4. It is in these times of great need that people see God's display of power. It is also in those great times of need that those who believe in God put a stronger dependency on God, and he does not let them down. From its onset, the characteristic of the church has been to respond to human need. It has worked as a first response unit in times of disaster, and it has ever since carried that reputation. And that lies at the center of its character and of its ethos. In verse 32 of Acts chapter 4, which we read, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind, No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. In Acts, the church had just begun in its early days. The Holy Spirit had come upon believers on the day of Pentecost to fulfill the promise of the Old Testament, which was later extended by Jesus, when Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." As a result, the people were filled with that extraordinary power, the charisma, and they go out preaching the resurrection of Jesus and performing miraculous signs, and more people began to join the church. But on the other hand, there was those who did not want to hear about Jesus and the message of the church, although they were afraid of stopping it outright because of its good works. But the center of the message is that this is the same God who was worshipped in the Old Testament, and he has now brought Jesus back from the dead and is now performing those things through the apostles by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a story starting as far back as Moses. It is all connected. That same Spirit of God is the one at work in the church, and you'll see it by its fruits. But you need faith. And what characterized the church was its unity, its caring, its sacrificial giving to those who were in need. As we see in verse 32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. And further, the church believed and preached about the resurrection of Jesus, and there was such a powerful bond that made them sufficient to the point of being satisfied of all their needs and being able to give and share with others. It says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Verses 33 to 35. So it became like an insurance arrangement, or an equity investment, or a provision of dividends and endowments to help those who were in need. This became a form of an internal social welfare system, which became a model for other structures and systems of administration in civil society. And the church to this day has maintained that charitable welfare service to those in extreme need. And so today, we should not look at our weaknesses and our shortfalls, but let us look to God, and let us encourage and support one another. Let us not dwell on people's weaknesses and imperfection or anything which we deem as failure, but let us look to the one who came to use those weaknesses and those failures and faults to teach us about himself and about ourselves, as he did with Moses. Remember that God has a plan for you as an individual, but he has also a plan for the wider society. There is nothing broken that he cannot mend. The resurrection story tells us that God can bring something new and good out of failure and despair. The problem is when we don't trust him to welcome him through prayer and to let him do it. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 2, it says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. The people of Israel called him and he sent Moses, therefore knowing and calling upon God. But also, secondly, As we saw from our epistle reading, the early church was united by God and used to consolidate the community of believers. He is the one, the same God. The narrative did not stop with the Bible stories. As we see in the resurrection, it is continuing even today. As the last verse we read from the Gospel of John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We need that faith, whether we are like Thomas, who began with doubt, which led him to believe, or whether we believe so that we can understand what we believe in. Faith that leads to understanding, or doubt that leads to faith. In whatever case, we need to believe so that we can experience that mystery of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us join together and declare our faith with a creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Eternal God, fount and source of all authority and wisdom, hear our prayer for those who govern. Give to Elizabeth, our Queen, grace as a symbol of loyalty and unity for all our different peoples. Give to the parliaments of these islands, and especially to our own government, wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Give to the members of all institutions vision, understanding, and integrity, that all may live in peace and happiness, truth and prosperity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless, we pray, Charles, Prince of Wales, and all the royal family, and especially at this time of following the death of Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. Endue them with your Holy Spirit, enrich them with your heavenly grace, and prosper them with all happiness. And at this time of sadness, may you be their comforter, their hope, and their courage, and bring them to your everlasting kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty and everlasting God, the only worker of great marvels, send down upon our bishops, especially Graham and Allen, and also our archbishops, and all congregations committed to their care the spirit of your saving grace, and that they may truly please you, pour upon them the continual dew of your blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, and for the unity of the Church. Heavenly Father, you have called us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to continue his work of reconciliation and reveal you to the world. Forgive us the sins that tear us apart. Give us the courage to overcome our fears and to seek that unity which is your gift and your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love for peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And in the time of silence, let us mention those known to us. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the faith of Christ, according to your promises. And today we think of the families of Neville Reynolds and of Molly House, and for the royal family and the nation as it mourns. And rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and the whole Church and the whole creation to your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Today also for our diocesan prayer, as we pray for our bishops, we also pray for the Deanery of Luleå in Luleå, our linked diocese in Sweden, and its rural dean, Hans Johansson. We pray for him, Lord, in the challenging task of leading your Church during these difficult times. We also pray for the Church in the province of the Indian Ocean. Thank you, Lord, for all that they are doing. We pray for the bishop there and all clergy and their congregations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And for our team, we pray for John taking the service at Aslacton and Steve at Stratton St. Mary this morning, and also at Stratton St. Michael this evening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we also continue to pray for all the plans for the funeral, how we can coordinate events and services in our churches. Give us wisdom and guidance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Please let us offer one another a sign of peace. Our next hymn, as we prepare for the communion part of the service, "Hallelujah, My Father," which in our hymn books is number 261.
And so
Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty and Eternal Father. And in these days of Easter, to celebrate with joyful hearts the memory of your wonderful works. For by the mystery of his passion, Jesus Christ, your risen Son, has conquered the powers of death and hell, and restored in men and women the image of your glory. He has placed them once more in paradise and opened to them the gate of eternal life. And so, in the joy of this Passover, earth and heaven resound with gladness, while angels and archangels and the powers of all creation sing forever the hymn of your glory. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven, through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Thank you.
And now let us say the prayer of humility. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. Lord God, our Father, who through our Saviour Jesus Christ has assured us of eternal life and in baptism made us one with him, deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in thy love, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our final hymn is a declaration that Jesus is Lord, and from our hymn books number 274, declaring that Jesus is Lord and he has risen. Thank you very much for taking part in this service. And as we go our different ways, remember this morning there's also a service at Aslacton at 9:30 in the morning. And let us not forget our theme for today, a journey of Christian faith, a journey of Christian faith in which we find ourselves in divine encounters, and remembering that ethos of the church, of that mixture of unprecedented generosity and the new horizon of the resurrection as part of our journey, life and faith. And so, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.